This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار مهطعين مقنعي رؤوسهم لا يرتد إليهم طرفهم وأفئدتهم هواء وأنذر الناس يوم يأتيهم العذاب فيقول الذين ظلموا ربنا أخرنا إلى أجل قريب نجب دعوتك ونتبع الرسل أولم تكونوا أقسمتم من قبل ما لكم من زوال وسكنتم في مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم وتبين لكم كيف فعلنا بهم وضربنا لكم الأمثال وقد مكروا مكرهم وعند الله مكرهم وإن كان مكرهم لتزول منه الجبال فلا تحسبن الله مخلف وعده رسله إن الله عزيز ذو انتقام يوم تبدل الأرض غير الأرض والسماوات وبرزوا لله الواحد القهار وترى المجرمين يومئذ مقرنين في الأصفاد سرابيلهم من قطران وتغشى وجوههم النار ليجزي الله كل نفس ما كسبت إن الله سريع الحساب هذا بلاغ للناس ولينذروا به وليعلموا أنما هو إله واحد وليذكر أولو الألباب
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have a wonderful program tonight, and we're inviting you all to stay behind. Our guest speaker tonight is doesn't need any introduction. He's Sheikh Siraj Wahaj, mashallah. So we're very honored to have him with us tonight. The program will start right away, so please stay. And if you are on this side of the masjid, on my left side, if you can please come over here, because we're going to open the door for the sisters. To move forward. Brother Saad will be here in a second, inshallah. All right, Jazakum Allah khair. good.
Assalamu alaikum. If everyone, the sisters, can come to the left side of the musalla, inshallah, we're going to bring in shortly. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Jazakallah khairan for joining us tonight, for taking your time out to be here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah into this gathering and allow it to be a benefit for all of us. Ameen. Just want to introduce tonight's program. Tonight's program is called Casual Conversations. Casual Conversations is a program that is organized by the young professionals here at ICF. We serve the demographic of young Muslims post-graduation. We are committed to networking people of similar, who are similar stages of life, whether it be, you know, after graduation, newly married, people that just had kids, you know, just people that are in similar stages of life after they graduate. The format of the casual conversations program that we have tonight is that we invite a community speaker, a mentor, someone that's inspiring to us, and we try to learn from them through a laid-back, casual-style interview on a given topic. Alhamdulillah, today we're honored to have Imam Siraj Raj with us today. You know, it's truly a blessing to be able to benefit from a senior scholar, someone that I consider a legend, mashallah, and someone that's been, you know, serving the da'wah field for over 40 years, mashallah. And you know, Imam Siraj really doesn't need any introduction, but in case if any of us don't know, he is the Imam at At-Taqwa Masjid in Brooklyn, New York, a community activist, a leader of the Muslim Alliance of North America, and also the former vice president of ISNA. His da'wah efforts began with successful efforts in fighting drugs and crime in his neighborhood. And in 1991, he became the first Muslim to recite the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, at the U.S. House of Representatives. He's, of course, well-respected. He's renowned by, among imams and scholars across the world, and of course, by all of us. So it's a really honor to have him. Imam Siraj, I'd like to welcome us to our community, the Islamic Center of Frisco. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine. I'm very happy to be here and to see these wonderful faces of these beautiful brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah.
How do you like Dallas?
Love Dallas. If I didn't, I wouldn't tell you.
My follow-up question to that is, when are you moving here?
Excuse me? Actually, it's not a very bad idea. But alhamdulillah, I love it in New York.
Mashallah. So inshallah, I know Imam Siraj, you have a video you'd like to show us before
yeah,
we begin. Yeah,
I want to show you a video. I want to remind you, how many of you read the 40 hadith of Imam Nabawi? Okay. I'm going to begin one of the hadith there. See if you recognize it. أن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها. How many of you read that beginning of that hadith? I'll say it again. أن أم المؤمنين. Who was that? أم المؤمنين. أم عبد الله. The mother of the faithful. The mother of Abdullah. Yes, you've read it. Ah, good. You know that Aisha radiallahu anha never had children, right? You know that. The mother of the faithful, she's the mother of the believers, wives of the Prophet, our mothers. But why is she called the mother of Abdullah? She said it because Abdullah was the son of her sister Asma, whom she loved very much. She treated like it was her own son. But Abdullah is interesting because Abdullah is the first Muslim born in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone else, ready? I'm going to give you a word. Everyone else was a convert. I want that to sink in. Abdullah was the first Muslim born in the Ummah. I'm going to show you a video, maybe 2 minutes long, maybe 3 minutes, of my masjid, Masjid al-Taqwa in Brooklyn. If you know anything, this is a kind of an extension from the khutbah, إِنَّمَا الْأَحْمَلُ بِالْقَوَاتِيمِ Your deeds shall be judged by your last deeds. Not how you begin the race, how you end the race. So this is going to be a video of my masjid. We started with 25 members. All of them from the Nation of Islam. How many heard of the Nation of Islam? Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali. We all started from them. We left them and became Muslims. And you're going to see our masjid that we were started with these 25 members, all of them former members of the Nation of Islam. This is one of the days of the Eid. I'm going to show you now, inshallah. The masjid is packed. There's about 1,500 people on the inside. These are the people who couldn't fit in. The African Americans, maybe 20%. 42 different nationalities in our masjid. The police closed down the streets for us for Eid. Okay, there's a point here. It's not how you begin the race, how you end it. And these members of the Nation of Islam, do you know the theology of the Nation of Islam? They believe that this man, Elijah Muhammad, they believed him to be a prophet. The prophet said, Walakin, lana bi abadi. There's no prophet after me. In the theology, they didn't believe in Yom al-Akhir. They didn't believe in life after death. In all of those things, but alhamdulillah, we started at a brother's apartment. We used to have Juma prayer in a brother's apartment. And then we bought this property, and then the rest is history. Why I say that? What's the significance of us, inshallah? May Allah bless every one of you. Your Islam, may Allah accept it, alhamdulillah. All of the ibadah that you did. We didn't fast in Ramadan, we fasted in December, right? We never made salat. When we used to pray, in the East like this and raise our hands. We never bowed, we never did anything like that. But there's one thing we did do. You call it da'wah, inviting people to Islam. We called it fishing. That's the word we use when fishing. And I don't want you to ever think that we were Muslims. We were not Muslims. It would not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. But there's one thing Allah blessed us with. He guided us to Islam. And as a result of him guiding us to Islam, we were able to transform that neighborhood. This neighborhood, our masjid, was one of the worst in the city. We had about 50. You ever hear the word crack? Crack? You heard of crack? Drugs. Crack. So we had about 15 crack houses, drug houses on the block of the masjid. Our brothers closed those crack houses down and transformed that area to now, the police said, was one of the most dangerous streets, now one of the most safest in the country. What the Muslims did. My point is, it's not how you begin the race, how you end the race. Innam al-ahmalu bil khawatim, your deeds shall be judged by your last deeds. So inshallah, we're gonna have some conversation. And I just think that Muslims can do better. That there are a lot of people out there who don't know Islam. And we know the Abdullah was the first Muslim born in the Ummah. Everyone else was converts. You understand what I'm saying? I see some of your faces like you don't get it. Tell me, I want some feedback from you. You don't like the word convert? Let me know. Yes. Abdullah was the first Muslim in the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salat wa salam that was born Muslim. Born Muslim. Everyone else, Abu Bakr, Umar, Abdul Hamid, Auf, Sa'd ibn Rabi, all of them were converts. You hear what I'm telling you? You get what I'm saying? They were what? Okay. That's not a bad word. Converts is not a bad word. Huh? Reverse. Reward. Reward. Okay. Oh, okay. All right, 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 right. Okay, inshallah.
JazakAllah khairan, Imam.
I thought that was important because we forget that. Our job is not just to be Muslim. Yes, of course. What about the people? What about our neighbors? So I'm saying, I'm pushing, I'm proposing that Muslims need to interact with the non-Muslims and to invite them to the Deen of Islam. This religion is not just for us. 1,400 years ago, they went out there and some of the greatest Muslims. Listen to what the Prophet said. I'm not making it up. خَيْرُ أُمَّتِي قَرْنِي ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونُهُمْ ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونُ. The best of my ummah is my generation. The generation of converts. Then the generation that follows them. Then the generation that follows them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't get what I'm saying. I'm not talking to you.
Imam, before we begin tonight's topic, I know you're here for a specific cause, an organization known as M4C Change Foundation. For those of us that don't know, Muslims for Change is a nonprofit organization committed towards transforming the lives of underserved girls and orphans globally. Their current project is Sakina Home and Education Center for girls based in Kenya. And their mission is to raise and support 200 girls. And Sakina focuses on empowering them towards transforming their circumstances, nurturing their families, and having a positive impact on their communities. So Imam Siraj, regarding this project that you're here for today, you're someone that's deeply committed to community development. How do you see the Sakina Home and M4C Foundation transforming lives, and why is it essential for all of us to support this mission?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Who could argue about orphans? No, I got it, shukran. Who can argue about our assistant to orphans, as the Prophet ﷺ was an orphan. So alhamdulillah, I hope that you can support it. You can go out there, you can see what's happening in Africa and all the orphanages that we have in supporting the orphans in Africa. So I wish you can go back there and kind of see what we're doing. Okay, inshallah. You will? Yes? You are allowed to speak back to me. I want to let you know that. You are permitted. You can speak back to me. Okay?
My question, I guess, follow-up to that is, do you have a message to share about the, you know, just about the foundation, about why it's important to contribute to initiatives like Sakina?
Yeah, I think that as Muslims, we are people of passion and compassion, love and respect, especially orphans. And as you know, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was an orphan. So I think that I don't have to even preach to us about our support for orphans. Everybody agree we should support orphans? Okay, very good. Okay.
Jazakallah khairan. So like Imam Siraj mentioned, M4C is doing a really important work. You know, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he accepts all their efforts. For those that are interested, they do have a table in the back. You know, you have the opportunity to have positive impact on these girls. You know, they're collecting funds and they have, you know, they're have that table right in the back in the brother's side. So I really highly encourage all of you guys to take advantage of the opportunity for the sake of Allah. Now, going on to today's topic, Imam, today's topic is navigating uncertain times through lessons from early Muslim America. My first question for you is, you know, many of us know your contributions, but can you tell us about your journey to Islam? I know you kind of touched upon that before, but, you know, what kind of first inspired you, and what role did your faith, Islam, our faith, what role did it have in shaping the direction of your life?
You have to remember, I started as a Christian. You know, basically, America is a Christian nation. And me and my brother, we got an award for 100% attendance in the church. That means we went every Sunday. And I remember all of a sudden, maybe in high school, I went less and less to church until I went to church no more. So my journey in Islam is different from yours. Most of you born Muslim. Again, I'm in this organization called Nation of Islam. Has nothing to do with Islam. And like many people, and how many studied the life of Malcolm X? I recommend you read the book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X. Malcolm X is one of the most famous Muslims in American history. And Malcolm X, like me, and many of us, started with the Nation of Islam. Muhammad Ali, the great boxer, started the Nation of Islam. And many people started the Nation of Islam. When we started, 25 of us had Jummah prayer in one of the brothers' apartment. A brother named Salim Abdul Sabor. On Fridays, we would push his furniture to the side and have Jummah in his apartment. That's how we began. We got this building at an auction from the city. We paid $30,000 for it. A few years ago, someone offered us $7 million for that same building. Today, I'm sure we get $15 million for it. But alhamdulillah, we got that. And we're gonna build a huge complex right there in that same area, inshallah. So we began not Muslim, but Elijah Muhammad, the head of the Nation of Islam, he died in 1975. His son took over, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. And that one man, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, transformed us into Muslims, as you know us today, alhamdulillah. And it shows you that one person can make a difference. And that's how we started in the Nation of Islam and became Sunni Muslims. Most of us left the Nation of Islam and became Sunni Muslims, alhamdulillah.
You know, Imam, my question, I guess, follow-up is that, you know, I'm a young guy. What advice would you have, if you can go back in time and give advice to your younger self, what would your advice be like?
My biggest advice for Muslims, you know, any of you ever heard of DoubleTree Hotel? Years ago, I was in a DoubleTree Hotel in Los Angeles. And in every room, there was a card that said, when you care, it shows. When you care, it shows. I've come to the conclusion when you don't care, it shows. When you care, it shows. Say what you want to say about the Nation of Islam, but they cared about the people. I was a college student. I was working. And when I joined the Nation of Islam, I quit my job to sell a 25-cent newspaper. I knocked on doors and sold a paper. The brothers from the Nation of Islam were known. I need two volunteers, you and you. Come. You stand here. You stand here. Do you know martial arts? You know martial arts? You know martial arts? Yeah? You know how to fall?
Oh, yeah.
You know how to fall? So if I flipped you, you'd be okay. Okay. Now, one day, I'm selling Muhammad Speaks newspaper, right? And I'm looking at a building, and I'm about to go into the building. And I noticed there were two men standing in the hallway. And I said to myself, they're going to try to rob me. I knew it. I know the look. So I'm asking you, I see these two mean-looking men. No, you're smiling too much. Mean. And I asked myself, should I go in? I'm asking you, should I go in the building? Knowing these two guys are standing in there, I'm asking you, go in? No. 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 Okay. I decided to go in. The guy on the right looked really mean. I took a Muhammad Speaks newspaper, and I put it under his arm. In this one here, I put it under his arm like that, and I said, give me 25 cents. True story. The mean-looking one, he can't even look mean. Okay. The mean-looking one takes out a gun, and he says, you just can't rob a Muslim. Puts his gun in his pocket and give me 25 cents. And this one gives me 25 cents. Thank you, you did good. Good, you did good. That's it. And Imam told me, Imam Talib, that there was a woman in Harlem, New York, with a hoodie on. And she was walking down the street. And there were two men seeming to follow her. So she picked up her pace. They picked up their pace. She started to jog. They started to jog. She started to run, and they started to run. And when the man was just about to grab her, her hoodie fell off her head, revealing Kimar. And he said, they stopped and said, sister, we sorry. We sorry. Why? Because they recognized her as being a Muslim. And the brothers from the Nation of Islam, wrong aqidah, but strong in their faith. I'm saying to you, it's not how you begin, but how you end. And because of that, Allah guided us to Islam. There are a lot of people out there, millions of people, waiting for us to invite them to Islam. This is my eternal message to the Muslims. You've got to invite the people to Islam. When I was a student at New York University, no Muslim ever came to my university. But the brothers from the Nation of Islam, they came. And they would sit next to us in the cafeteria and say, how you doing, my black brother? And it was because of that they brought us, invited us to the temple. How many of us invite the people to the masjid? When you care, it shows. When you don't care, it shows. So I am going around the country trying to inspire, to motivate the Muslims to go out there and give da'wah. Would you want to do that? Would you? Is that something you would like to do, to give da'wah to non-Muslims? Would you like to do that? Show me by your hands if you like to do that. Allahu Akbar. Okay, so tomorrow morning, meet me here at 9 o'clock. No, no, I'm messing with you. I got, you know, you guys, you know, I got to bring you to New York because you guys, okay. Yes, please. Oh, yeah, you from New York? I like, well, so you abandoned us and you came here.
Alhamdulillah, I was born and raised in New York as well.
Really?
Yeah. You know, kind of in a similar note, you know, I know you've touched on this, but one thing I want to say that, alhamdulillah, you know, in Dallas, we've had tremendous growth and activity in this community. We have mega masajids. We organize towards expansions and improving services. However, you know, one thing is that in the focus of this progress, sometimes we lose sight in the importance of grassroots community building. Reflecting on your efforts to rebuild the Brooklyn community around Masjid Taqwa, where the focus was, you know, uniting people at the local level. What lessons can you tell us that we can apply here to strengthen unity and overcome divisions?
I don't expect you to do what I'm going to say. We had, when we moved into that area, the police told us that this area here, where you want to build your masjid, one of the worst in the city. Crimes and things like that. And that didn't deter us. We had those 15 drug houses. We had an anti-drug program where we literally closed down those 15 drug houses. We worked with the police. We told them where they were. And they raided all of them, got the drug dealers out. We stayed there 40 days and 40 nights in front of these drug houses, letting no one back in. That area, which was one of the worst, became one of the best in the city because of what the Muslims did. The people loved it. There's a woman, elderly African-American woman, I'll never forget, I'm sitting in my masjid. She comes and she says, can I come in? I said, yes. And she sat down. She said she was, I think, Jehovah's Witness, something like that. And she said, I've never been in a place like this. I didn't know about Muslims. Now I love Muslims because they saw what we did. And those business people, they thanked us because we got those drug dealers out. Admittedly, it took strength. It took courage to do that. But alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us, cleaned up the area. Even other areas, other people, other parts of the city asked us, can we do the same thing in the area? Because again, we feared none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah.
You know, Imam, one thing that's been in the forefront in all of our minds is, of course, the ongoing genocide in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. But this was especially prevalent during the election season where everyone was trying to find the best way to make a positive impact for our Muslim brothers and sisters abroad. However, oftentimes it seems like our attempts are futile. There doesn't seem like there's any good options. You know, you've experienced a similar challenge working in a society that seemed broken. You know, just like you mentioned when you took up the task of cleaning up the streets in Brooklyn, plagued by drugs and crime. How did you uphold your values while remaining steadfast and also create meaningful change in the face of such corruption?
I don't want to give the impression that we in the Nation of Islam had the right answer. No. Islam has the right answer. So I don't ever want you to think that we got to go back and see what the Nation of Islam did. That's not my point. But the Prophet والسلام, taught us a very valuable lesson. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَ فَيَغَالِ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever sees an evil, let him change it with his hands. If you can't, because everybody can't do that. Everybody can't do, I don't expect everybody to do what we did. If you can't change it with your hand, change it with your tongue. And if you can't change it with your tongue, change it with your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَدَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. This is the weakest of faith. So my point is, at least have the attitude. Alhamdulillah, the Muslims everywhere about Gaza, I have seen everywhere I go in the country, Muslims contributing toward Gaza. You know, and alhamdulillah, it's good. It's an effort, alhamdulillah. And it's having its impact. So the question, do we even care? What do we do? What have we done for Gaza? You know, I want to tell you about a Sahaba that in Jannah, he never made one salat. never fasted one day in Ramadan. Never made Hajj. We don't even know his name. Qala rajulun, a man said, Ya Rasulullah, uqatilu wa uslimu. Should we fight? Should I fight or become Muslim? Qala aslim thumma qatil. Become Muslim, then fight. Fa aslima wa qatila fa qutila. He took shahada, he fought, and he was slain. And the Prophet said, Amila qalilan wa ujra kathiran. He did little work but got big reward. I don't expect everyone to get a weapon and go and to fight. Kutiba alaykumul qital wa huwa kurhun lakum. Asa an taqru shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. Fighting is prescribed for you and you hate it. It may be that you hate something that's good for you. So it begins with an attitude. What are we going to do about Gaza? We can at least donate. Alhamdulillah, and masjid, I've gone all over, masjids everywhere, everybody's donated, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us for all of our efforts, and may Allah bless us to strengthen us and to make us better, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan, Imam. You know, one of my final questions I had for you is, you know, we talked about how you played a role in transforming the neighborhood plagued by crime into a thriving Muslim community, mashallah. You know, as we navigate uncertain times, which is the topic today, many of us are grappling, they're struggling to deal with issues like corrupt leadership within our communities and outside of our communities, and, you know, just challenges within the Muslim American community. What advice would you give to Muslims who are trying to build positive change in their communities despite these challenges, and how do we apply the lessons from your work in Brooklyn?
I think the thing is, we have the duty and the obligation to learn our faith. What is our faith? And to look at those models that we have, the Prophet and his companions. Who can get better than Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Rabi, and all of those Sahaba. So it's about learning, following, studying the history, and then trying to apply it in the best way that we can in this modern time. And that is, we start going to the masjid and, you know, our ibadah and all of the things that we do, inshallah. And I think that, and again, I want to conclude that we have to get involved in our neighborhoods. We have to get involved into the society. Do you agree with that? I mean, really, because I know we don't do it, right? But I think that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to strengthen and to care about the people, enough about the people to go and to at least talk to them, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan, Imam. And my final question is, you know, we have a lot of young people here tonight who are inspired by your incredible work. And, you know, however much of your journey began in humble efforts, like you mentioned, Brooklyn, small house, when the masjid first began. My question is, what advice would you give to young people who want to make a difference, but they feel like their effort might be too small to matter?
I don't think anything is too small. You know, when I was a student at University, New York University, not one Muslim ever came to me and invited me to Islam. Not one. But the brothers from the Nation of Islam, they came. We were in the cafeteria. And they would come and sit next to us and put their arm around us, say, how you doing, my black brother? And that did it. It showed that they care. How many of us care? I am, in my tradition in the Nation of Islam and reaching out to people, I still do the same thing. Did I tell you about the Jehovah's Witness woman who came and spoke to me, said, I'd never been here before. And there are people like that, when we show them effort, and they said, wow, these are really nice people. I mentioned in the khutbah 10,000 Muslim businesses in New York City. Think the kind of dawah we could give. 10,000 Muslim businesses, people, millions of people coming in contact with Muslims. We sell them products. Good, you have what you're supposed to. But how about giving them a flyer? How about inviting them to a masjid? How about inviting them to some kind of program in the masjid? Do you have programs here in the masjid when you invite the people? Yeah. And the people, they come? Excellent, alhamdulillah. I would recommend that we continue to do programs like that, continuing to invite the people, and you'll see that it make a big difference. And you see all over Texas, all over Dallas, all over New York, all over Boston, you see the people really learning to respect and even love the Muslims. Thank you.
You know, Jazakallah khairan, Imam Siraj. I really, you know, tremendously benefited from this, and I'm sure everyone here listening would feel the same. Inshallah, you know, we can't express how much we appreciate you visiting, spending time with our community today, giving khutbah in the morning, of course, and doing the program with us tonight. You know, all we can do is make dua to Allah that He accepts your efforts and allow it to be a means to enter Jannat al-Firdaus. And, you know, we hope you visit us more often, inshallah, you know.
Of course.
Inshallah. And, sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to say, you know, once again, I just want to remind everyone that, you know, we have the Muslims for Change. They're doing really important work. They have the table in the back. You know, this is an opportunity for us to earn the pleasure of Allah by doing the one of the most beloved deeds, which is to take care of orphans. So, you know, don't let this opportunity slip by and take advantage of it, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Again, once again, Imam, really appreciate it for coming
out. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khairan, everyone.
I'm going to tell you about the show.
No, man.
Jazakallah khairan.